Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thanks for joining us. My next guest is Ian Altman, and Ian is with Grow My Revenue LLC. He's the CEO of that company out of Rockville, Maryland. And we're going to talk about how to maximize the value of your business through sales leadership. You can read his articles about integrity-based sales leadership on Forbes.com. Marketing luminary Seth Godin said his latest book is one of the two insightful books on B2B consultative selling. And he successfully built and sold his prior companies and then served as managing director of the acquiring company while growing the value to more than $1 billion. And now he works with organizations around the world on how to grow revenue and business value with integrity. Ian, welcome to the show.
Bill, thanks for having me. Looking forward to hanging out with you.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for joining us. I'm really looking forward to this. We're always talking about how do we maximize the value of your business. You've had some great experience with that. Tell us a little bit about your background and what Grow My Revenue LLC does.
Happy to share it with you. So my background, I started my first company in 1993. We were a Fast 50 company in the Washington, D.C. area by 1998. We started in a software company also, so we were a services company, started a software company. By 2005, a group of investment bankers out of New York acquired my company for cash and stock, asked me to serve as managing director of the parent, and then we grew the business into 12 countries around the world and grew the value of the company from $100 million to really close to $2 billion in value. And during that kind of crazy ride, I learned a lot about what to do and what not to do in a business and what it was like to grow in different parts of the world. And, of course, along the way, made some great mistakes that hopefully I can guide people around in their businesses today. And now, today, I write for Forbes every week on Forbes.com, and I speak around the world to organizations on keys to how they grow their business.
Well, that's fantastic. And it sounds like with all of your experiences, There's probably a wide variety of remedies to different situations. So let's talk about a couple of situations. What's the biggest mistake that sales organizations make?
Well, it's not even so much a mistake. It's just we fall into these little traps. So my latest book is a book called Same Side Selling, and we talk about the traps that pit buyer and seller against one another. And I co-wrote it with a guy who spent the last 20 years on procurement and purchasing, so it really got in the mind of the buyer. What we discovered, and I've done a lot of research on how executives make buying decisions, and people buy based on the problems that we solve for them. But the biggest mistake that most people make from the sales side is they talk about what they do rather than why people need it. And so you can imagine if someone said, hey, Bill, I'm a roofing contractor. Can you refer someone to me? You may not know when someone needs a roofing contractor. But if instead, if that person could say to you, hey, Bill, if someone has water coming into their building, could be their home or office, on the roof, the ground, anywhere in between, we fix that kind of problem. We also can help people if their energy costs are out of control. Well, now you've got an idea of what symptoms you're looking for to identify where there might be a good fit, and that's the same sort of thing that people need to do is focus more on why people need what they do rather than just describe what they do.
So kind of get inside that person's head that you're talking to and give them the message that's going to create that image of why you would be needed, not just what you do.
Yeah, that's very much the case. And it's this notion, Bill, of what happens is people get so inundated, they get trained on their message, on what they do, and they forget why people need it. And by thinking from your customer's perspective as to why they need it, then you can ask great questions to figure out whether or not those conditions exist, know if it's a good fit.
Hence the name of the book, Same Side Selling, which is available. Okay. Is it on Amazon, right? It's reached number one on Amazon. Fantastic.
Okay. It has. It's been a fair amount of time there, yeah.
Good. It's good. Great stuff. Now, I talk to a lot of professionals and a lot of companies that have salespeople, and they're always concerned about how to shift conversations from price to value.
Yep. And that's a common thing. And actually, I speak on that theme around the world, because it's what happens nowadays is people can get so much information online that oftentimes when they call up a company and they're asking about your services, they immediately say, oh, I've already done my research. How much is it? And we get caught in this trap because we've just commoditized ourselves. If instead, if you imagine, what if when someone called you up, what if you said, you know, I don't even yet know whether or not what we do would work for you. And no matter what we charge, if we can't achieve your goals, then it's probably not a good deal, right? And of course, the customer's going to say yes. Okay, let's focus on what challenges you're facing and how we'd measure success so I know whether or not we can even deliver it. And if so, then I can give you a sense of what it costs to get there. At that point, what we've just done is we've shifted the focus to why they need it and what the outcome would be, rather than focusing on a commodity and a price.
Mm-hmm. Very, very important to shift that focus. Of course, you're still going to have some people that are price shoppers, and they're just going to try to bottom line you. But you're changing the mindset from buying just a strict commodity to something that's going to solve your problems, right? Is that the whole idea?
And what I would say is this. There's a lot of businesses out there that make a lot of money by being the low bidder. Those aren't my clients, but there's a lot of people who make a lot of money by being the low bidder. And if you're the low bidder, you better be the most efficient person, and your selling feature at that point is we're the cheapest. Especially when it comes to services, customers aren't looking for the cheapest. In fact, when I survey executives and they're buying, price is never on the top of their list as the most important thing. Now, their purchasing people want to convince the seller that that's the case, that price matters most. But price matters most when the person selling it believes price matters most. And to that extent, if you can shift that conversation to value over price and start focusing on why somebody needs it and what the outcomes will be, you're going to find out who's serious and who's not. And you have to decide if you want to sell to the customer who only cares about price. Because you and I both know the low bidder usually change orders somebody to death, and the customer's not happy anyhow. I don't think it's a good long-term business strategy.
Yeah, low bidder can be a foot-in-the-door strategy for some people, but they usually get the kind of customers that they don't. Like you said, there's markets for everything out there, right? So there's all kinds of strategies. So what's the one thing that business owners can do to maximize the value of their companies via their sales strategy?
Well, I'm going to give you a twofer because I'm going to give you two answers to this. So you said one thing, but I'm going to cheat and I'm going to throw out two. So the first thing is that when I was growing my businesses, man, I thought we had great value until people looking to acquire us would ask about the business and they realized that all of the growth in the business was directly related to me. And if I'm an integral part of the business inherently doesn't have as much value because someone looking to acquire the company says, wait a minute, this guy all of a sudden gets millions of dollars. He's not going to be passionate about growing this thing anymore. Or, hey, this guy gets hit by a bus. So we need to build a culture of sales in the organization. And once I was able to do that, it created more value. The second part of that is recognizing that you might have 1 in 5 people in your organization that have the title that has anything to do with sales, but recognize that everyone who touches a customer impacts sales. And if you don't get everyone on the mindset of how do I build our business with integrity, you could be leaving 80% of your opportunity on the table. So I cheated and I threw out two, Bill, but hopefully it's okay.
Oh, I liked it. the building a culture of sales, interesting terminology. And how does a business owner start to build a culture? You know, a lot of businesses think, well, there's my sales department, there's my marketing department, there's finance and administration, and there's all the rest of the employees. How do they start to build a culture of sales?
Well, it's interesting. It's something, I wrote about it in detail. My first book was called Upside Down Selling, and it was largely about how do we engage non-salespeople to grow their business. And we actually profile a company called Accela Consulting in there that more than doubled their growth rate in a year by adding 0 salespeople and just engaging non-salespeople. So there's a couple things we have to do. The first thing is we have to help these non-salespeople realize that they're not doing something dishonest. In fact, one of the ways I often describe it to them is okay, if you're someone who's currently, let's say, a project manager or a program manager or doing some sort of consulting, let's say, or an IT person, customer, I'll ask them, gee, do you feel like you help your customers solve problems better than they can solve themselves? And they'll always say, oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Would the customer be upset with you if you helped them find other areas in their business that you could also help them in ways that they can't do it themselves? Oh, absolutely. Okay. That's what we want you to do. We don't want you selling something somebody doesn't need. We want to help you understand what questions to ask to uncover if there's a real need that we're good at fixing. Because if the customer doesn't have a real need, they're not going to buy it anyhow. It's okay. But if they have a real need that we're good at solving, then, man, there's a great fit where we can really continue to help that customer. And so that's kind of the biggest area, is helping people understand what types of questions to ask and understand that what they're doing actually is not slimy, is not deceptive. Rather, they're just trying to help their customers and serve more of their needs or solve more of their challenges.
So in a way, it's going back to the re-identifying, like we started off the conversation, the needs of the individual. You're providing solutions. Selling is providing solutions. So it's kind of re-imaging what selling means to a lot of people, because for a lot of people, it's a dirty word.
Yeah, and let's face it. Years ago, you didn't have a choice. You had to put up with the slimy, annoying salesperson because it's the only way you could get information. Today, people get information online. So the value is really in the subject matter expertise when your company possesses. And it's not just a matter of walking to the customer and saying, gee, what issues do you face? Because they may not know. But instead, there's a model that we cover in Same Side Selling called Entice, Disarm, and Discover. And what it is we entice somebody's interest by sharing problems that we solve with extraordinary results. We disarm the notion that we're just there to sell them something by acknowledging we're not a fit for everybody. And then we trigger a discovery phase where we learn more about them. So what it might sound like in my business is, gee, my clients come to me typically when they have customers who are too focused on price over value. They've got a great message that falls on deaf ears, and the customers they could help the most won't give them the time of day. And unfortunately, we find that only half the businesses that are facing that end up being a good fit where we can deliver amazing results. So I don't yet know enough about your situation, but if you're facing that, I'm happy to learn more about your situation to see whether or not we can help. And what that does is, if someone's having one of those situations, man, I can deliver great results for them in most cases. But if they're not, they're probably not a great fit for me. And so it's about helping business owners and companies figure out what those core messages are so that they can capture the attention of their customer in a non-pushy, non-salesy way.
Well, you know, you're bringing up some really, really good points here. And the key is that information is everywhere. It's all online. It's everywhere. The customer doesn't always have to find that salesperson. But when they come in through customer service rep or a chat room or all the myriad ways that technology has brought us, that customers can come in and start asking questions, it's really important to have that culture of intentional listening. And I like the entice, disarm, and discover as a strategy for everybody to think, okay, how am I going to keep them interested and then change the game from them worried about being sold to that we're here to help and discover what their needs are and take care of that. So it's a very, very fascinating system, and I look forward to reading your books. Same Side Selling and Upside Down Selling, they're out there. They're on Amazon, and of course we can follow you weekly on your website, growmyrevenue.com and Forbes.com. So what section of Forbes are you in the business and marketing side, or?
I'm in the sales leadership side. So under leadership, under sales. I mean, they run my stuff in a lot of different sections. But on the sales leadership side is where people typically find me. I mean, my trends article always gets a lot of attention. So my 2015 trends article, I forget how many tens of thousands of views it's had, but it's something that gets a lot of traction every year.
Well, it's fantastic. I look forward to following you, and I hope our listeners will too. And they can also, again, like I said, come to your website, www.growmyrevenue.com, learn more about this developing your sales culture and building a culture of sales. Great stuff. Thanks very much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope, Ian, that we can talk again sometime very soon and kind of go deeper on some of these topics. I think our listeners would really enjoy that.
Bill, I'd be happy to do it. And, of course, if anyone's got topics that they wish I covered in my Forbes column that I haven't, just drop me a note or follow me on Twitter at Grow My Revenue. Throw out ideas. Some of my best topics come from people just suggesting, hey, would you talk about this? So
That's great.
Always happy to help.
Well, that's great. That's a great resource. Listeners, how would you like to see your suggested topic show up on Forbes? That'd be awesome. Hey, it's great hanging out with you, and I really appreciate your time today, and I hope to talk to you again very soon.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, Bill. Thanks again.
We're going to take a short break and then close out, so we'll be right back. Please stay with us.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.